Welcome in here to our final week of Who's Gonna Win here on KJN as we're into the postseason. First round of the playoffs upon us, and we are ready to try to see who can take that Hoosman Trophy. It's looking like it's a two-man race here, but we'll see how things play out here in the final week of action here for you. Usual suspects with you, Doug Leonard, Matt Mullenix, Jim Field. I'm Chris Parks, and we want to thank Nishna Valley Credit Union and Ag Business Associates for bringing you Who's Going to Win here throughout the season, and once again for you tonight. We will take a look here at how we did last week and then get started on our picks here for this final week in just a moment after this.
The Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic is a community credit union offering you great services. Whether you're looking for a place to save your money or invest in a new home, car, or something else, visit with the staff of the Nishna Valley Credit Union. The Nishna Valley Credit Union is committed to making available financial products and services that will enable you to meet your financial needs and reach your financial goals. And now, if you live in one of 18 Southwest Iowa counties, you are eligible to join. Best of all, the Nishna Valley Credit Union offers the convenience of two full-service locations, Atlantic and Creston.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, from Ag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.
Welcome back to Who's Gonna Win. Let's take a look back at the final week of the regular season and how our picks went. The first game we had on the sheet for you was an eight-man District 6, and it was Bedford in a back-and-forth affair over Stanton, 54-42 the final there, and some wild things happened in that district at the last week of the season. Bedford gets in with the win, and that was a winner for Jim. He was out on a limb. We all, rest of us had Stanton, so Jim was the only correct pick on that one. Also, it was Arweva hosting Audubon, and Arweva pulls off the win in a mild upset, 34-28 there, as the Rockets get the victory and get themselves into the postseason in the district title, as Audubon falls to the runner-up there with the 34-28 contest. We were all incorrect on that one. We all had the Wheelers. HST got it done at home, 37-15 over Missouri Valley. We all had the Vikings, and the Vikings earned their way into the playoffs with that victory. Also, it was Shenandoah winning the Page County Super Bowl over Clarinda, 50-34. We all had the Mustangs, so we were all correct on that one. Kemper Catholic gets a district title with a 31-20 win over Southeast Valley. That was a winner for everyone except Matt. He was out on a limb on that one. And then Glenwood beat ADM 44-14. The Rams took care of business, and they got some help with other things to get themselves in a wild card spot in the playoffs. We all had Glenwood there, so we all get that one right. And then it was Doug getting a limb pick to come through with a Carroll victory over Creston Orient Maxburg. 49-21 the final there as the Tigers win it. Doug had it correct. The rest of us had Creston. And also the final game we had on the sheet, it was Harlan winning at home 49-14 over Atlantic. That was a winner for everybody except Jim. He went out on a limb there with the Trojans. So here's how things wrapped up for us. 5-3 for both Jim and myself that week. Doug was the lead picker last week at 6-2, and Matt was at 4-4. So overall now it's Jim with a one-game advantage, 53-19 and 52-20 for Doug, and then 49-23 for myself, 47-25 for Matt here as we head into our final week of picks.
I beg to differ. I have a two-game lead because I own the tiebreaker.
This is true. You do own the tiebreaker.
Can't say anything about it. I was just about ready to give you back that Atlantic limb pick because I'm glad you picked the Trojans, but since you brought up that Hawkeye thing, never mind.
Game on.
Game on.
I get a little testy in this room.
I'm not counting you guys out yet either because this is a tough sheet this week.
Yeah, we could see some interesting shakeup here. And, of course, a little bit different scenario than we've had here the last few years with just the top two teams in each district getting in. And then, of course, classes A through 3A with a couple of wild cards thrown in there. So you know you got a lot of strong matchups here in the first round of the playoffs. And let's get right after it here. We've got a couple of eight-man matchups here for you on the sheet to start things off. And the first one is Audubon taking a trek up to the Great North to take on Harris Lake Park, who is undefeated. And I guess Jim's out in front, so we'll make him get the party started here. What do you think?
Oh, I don't like it because this is a tough game. This is a real tough game to look at. I was just looking at some numbers there, and one of these teams has a quarterback who's just really solid, a wide receiver who bulks up on the totals, and a running back who's just really solid. Oh, wait, that's both teams. Yeah, you know, the numbers are so the numbers are good for both squads. I was really impressed looking at some of the numbers. The quarterback for Harris Lake Park, 30 touchdowns, only 4 interceptions, and has hit on 66% of his passes. And only 1,480 yards, though, so I'm guessing a lot of those are little swing passes. I'm assuming by the numbers that they run some sort of a spread offense and move the ball around pretty much. I don't know. Both of these teams seem to be pretty solid offensively. Somebody's going to make a move on defense. This might be one of those turnover games where a key moment makes all the difference in the world. Boy, I really don't like that long drive heading all the way up there. What's the weather like in Canada this time of the year?
Crisp northerly breeze.
Yeah, you're going to see that. I'm going to go with Audubon. I was not going to do that when I sat down here, but I'm going to go with Audubon. I'm thinking that they're going to make a play somewhere on defense that's going to turn this game.
All right, that's one for the Wheelers. Doug, what do you think?
Yes, 140-mile round trip. Boy, I mean, you're...
One way.
So quite a haul there. You know, Harris Lake Park, the thing that I looked at a little bit with their season, you know, the record was obviously undefeated, 9-0. But their opponents, they don't think they had the as good a schedule as Audubon played this year. You look at the offensive numbers they put up, as Jim mentioned, is pretty impressive. I've got to do a little figuring here because I got to gain a couple games here.
Doing some ciphering.
Doing a little thinking here, which could be dangerous. We only have 30 minutes, so I'm a slow thinker. I'm going to take the home team on this one. I hope I'm wrong for the Wheelers' sake, but I'm going to take Harris Lake Park.
All right, that's the one for Harris Lake Park. What do we think, Matt?
Okay. Well, yeah, we've gone through the offensive side of things, but I kind of late in the season, you want to look at what's the defense done to get you to this point, because like they say, offense wins games, but defense wins championships, and we're into the championship season. Harris Lake Park defensively has only allowed 9.5 points a game, and this is 8-man football, and we all know that the scores can really rack up, and you know, 2-touchdown lead is never out of sight, even late in the game. Because of the pace of the game and just the way the game's played. So with that being said, I like Harris Lake Park's defense. Long trip for Audubon. That's amazing. Here we are talking about this, and pretty much the entire season, Audubon's ranked in the top 3 the entire season, and then they lose that last game, get sent on the road 140 miles away, and now they are potentially like an underdog here in this game. So it's kind of... you know, and just kind of the way it works out, but you know, here we are down to 16 teams, like we've already said. So I'm going to go with the Harris Lake Park, the Wolves.
All right,
the Wolves.
Nice
up there.
Nice, good research there. Did not know that yet. All right, Harris Lake Park. There, a couple of picks on the sheet. Yeah, I agree with Jim. This is really tough when you look at things. They look like pretty well-matched teams as far as the numbers are concerned. The one thing that did stand out to me that Matt was getting at here was the fact that defensively might be something that you have to take a look at, and they've got a player that's got 53 solo tackles on the defensive side of the ball, and they have 21 takeaways here on the season to help them get to their win total. So I think that definitely gives you a lot of confidence heading into a game against you know, a team that is going to do a little bit both passing and running. So I have a lot of games to make up as well, so I'm going to go ahead and go take Harris Lake Park here as well, so that I'll leave Jim out there on the limb. But this should be a really good game. All right, so we've got Audubon on a limb there for Jim in that first one. Let's take a look here at the next 8-man contest. We've got Exira EHK. going on the road at Bedford, a rematch of a game that was played earlier here this season. I think these two teams are very different from that first time that they met. And, Doug, what's the prognostication here?
Yeah, namely, you know, the injury situation for the Spartans at the beginning of the year. You know, I think certainly a little more healthy than they were against Bedford the first time they played, lost 40-6 that game. Bedford, you know, name of the game for them is their running back, Sam McMillan, has put up a heck of a season on the ground. I'm going to say Spartans. Woo! That's we were talking off the air about Ronnie Woo, the Cubs. I'm going to say Spartans. Woo! Come on,
fired
Jim.
Up. All right.
Oh, goodness.
That's one for the Spartans. Is Matt going to pull out the woo, too, here?
Yeah, there you go. This is, again, like we've kind of said, teams have come around. Here's the season. I think in Bedford, the last couple of games have kind of snuck them out down the stretch. I think with Lennox and their injury, I said that last week, 2 weeks ago, Lennox game, had Lennox top quarterback player, probably not gone down. Bedford probably would have lost that ball game and wouldn't be in this situation. So with that, I like the way Xyra has bounced back from the beginning of their season, 0-2 start, and really playing tough, much tougher than what I anticipate coming the season. So I'm going to give them a little whoo to the Spartans.
All right, that's two two Spartan woos. I didn't know that's what Spartan's battle cry sounded like. But.
Well, I'm not sure. I think probably sounds a little more intimidating than that. More intimidating.
Well, I think what's so interesting about this game is that the two teams are probably almost entirely different from the first time they played. You've got the quarterback, Seifert, there for Bedford. That first time they played, that was his first start. He was a freshman. He had to come in the first game because the other guy they were going to play got hurt. So that was his first outing, but McMillan had a big game on the ground, and that's how they got the win. You had Buchhold out. You had Harrison Olsen out. You also had the Bradford kid for Xyra didn't play in that game, so they're entirely different now. Connor Westergaard's taken over the quarterback duties, and they do a lot more running the ball with him than they did before with Peterson. They won't put it in the air as much, so that changes the dynamic of maybe how they play against them. This is tough because it's hard to look past 40-6 too. It's not that they just lost a close game that first time around. It was a pretty good handling there by Bedford. So it's tough to go on the road, but I like the mettle that the Spartans have showed here lately. I think they've started to kind of get behind each other here a little bit down the stretch. Westergaard's playing really well. I'm going to go ahead and take the Spartans here as well. Do a little woo!
We had this game back in, what, week two?
Yeah.
Yeah, in week two we had this game, and Matt went on a limb with Bedford and won. Everybody else took Xyra EHK. This time, everybody's taking Xyra EHK again. So I guess the question is, do I go out on a limb and take Bedford? Yeah, why not? Yeah, I'll try the Bulldogs at home. That McMillan kid's been, he's been running really well. I know it's one guy that the Spartan defense has to focus on, but everybody's been trying to focus on him, and it hasn't really worked real well for them so far. So I'll take Bedford at home.
And they have found a way to win those close games here recently. So it'll be a good one down there in Bedford, and that's the broadcast game we'll have for you here on KJN as well.
But no woo.
No woo?
No.
No.
Okay. All right, that's our first two picks here for this postseason edition of Who's Gonna Win. We'll take another break and come back and get into some 11-man football games here on Who's Gonna Win.
The Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic is a community credit union offering you great services. Whether you're looking for a place to save your money or invest in a new home, car, or something else, visit with the staff of the Nishna Valley Credit Union. The Nishna Valley Credit Union is committed to making available financial products and services that will enable you to meet your financial needs and reach your financial goals. And now, if you live in one of 18 Southwest Iowa counties, you are eligible to join. Best of all, the Nishna Valley Credit Union offers the convenience of two full service locations, Atlantic and Creston.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, from Ag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.
Welcome back to Who's Gonna Win. Let's head into some 11-man picks here in the postseason. And the first one we have on the sheet here is in Class A, as Akron Westfield goes on the road to St. Albert. And you look at records, you might think differently, but this could be more interesting than we think. Matt.
Yeah, you've got the Westerners of Akron Westfield coming in 5-4 overall, 5-2 in their districts. They were district runner-up, but you look at their two non-district games. There were losses to Hinton and Western Christian of Hull. Both of those teams 8-1. Their other loss was a 2-point loss to Salona Westwood and a 6-point loss to West Sioux, which ended up winning their district. So the record's a little deceiving. The one thing that Westerners like to do is they like to throw the ball, 1,800 yards of passing compared to 900 yards of running. This late in the season, coming into St. Albert's, their defense is just phenomenal this year. I'm going to go back to my defensive side of the ball, and I'm going to pick St. Albert. I think they do everything right. There's nothing flashy about them. When you look at stats, they're not at the top. They're not doing – but I think it's just because they just get the job done, and they tend to business. They'll control the ball. And the more you can control that ball, they force the turnovers. I think those are going to be the keys for them to come out top. And that's at home. Tough to win up on the hill.
All right. So that's one there for St. Albert. You already talked about it. You know, you look at the overall record and you think, oh, geez, well, this is easy to pick. But they've played some tough teams. Cal Exra, their quarterback's thrown for 1,610 yards, 20 touchdowns, just 6 interceptions. So they've done a pretty decent job of taking care of the ball. I believe, actually were in the finals last year for their squad. So they're a team that's very familiar with the postseason. They know how this goes, but it's tough to pick against St. Albert here this year because they are very tough. They've proven that. They've beaten some good teams, beat Kemper Catholic earlier in the season. They've got good balance on offense, and then I wrote down defensively, they do it by committee. They're a team that flies to the football together, and there's not one guy they have to rely on, so I'll take the Falcons to get one here. Jim.
Did you say their four losses are deceiving?
I think the record was deceiving.
Did they lose four games?
Yes.
No deception. St. Albert.
Okay. I didn't know I was going to be quizzed and graded here.
Didn't know there was going to be a quiz today, huh? Well, you're helping me with my pick here.
Well, I agree with Matt, Jim. Because, you know, you look at that. Well, I mean, I'm going to take St. Albert, but you look at their schedule. They played 3 8-1 teams. I mean, that's tough competition there. The thing, you look at St. Albert and you look at their stats, and it just, I don't know how they win games. I mean, and they do, obviously. They're 9-0. The other thing is they put up points, and, you know, they've had six games where they've scored at least 30 points. But they don't have a lot of yards. They don't have a lot of yards passing or rushing. I mean, it's crazy. You know, it is interesting, I guess I would say, with St. Albert, they have had a week off, you know, due to the forfeit against Griswold. They really haven't played, you know, it'll be in 2 weeks then. So you kind of wonder how that'll affect the timing of everything for them. But I think the Falcons are going to win.
All right. Going to go with a clean sweep here for St. Albert. And, maybe that's a little bit of the difference, though, too, downside of the district they played in. Wasn't a lot of testing there for them sometimes here throughout the year. So we've all got the Falcons there. Let's move on to a Class 1A contest. The AHSTW Vikings picked up a win the last week of the regular season to get into the postseason, and now they get to go on the road and take on Van Meter. And I guess I get first crack here at this one. An undefeated Van Meter team that just beat Madrid last week to win their district. This is an interesting one on paper as well. You look at a lot of similarities between these two teams. R.J. Harris has had a really good year for the Vikings, both throwing and running the ball. Joel Becerra, Gabe Pauly are a couple guys that can use their speed to play good football for the Vikings. But Van Meter, you look at their stats, and they've got, you know, over 1,300 yards passing for the quarterback, over 1,200 yards rushing for Carson Rhodes, their running back. And the thing that I wrote down that really stood out to me when I was looking through their numbers, 29 takeaways on the season for Van Meter. And I think that's going to give them an edge. I'm going to go with the Bulldogs. Jim?
Yeah, on the other side, their quarterback's thrown one interception this year. One! They've got seven shutouts this year. They've given up on average 4.3 points per game. I thought AHSTW looked awesome with only 8.5 points given up per game. And then I saw that. Seriously. Van Meter looks like they've got it going on both sides. I'm going to take Van Meter at home. That's going to be a tough task.
All right, that's two for Van Meter. Doug?
Yeah, and you mentioned that defensive average for Van Meter, Jim. 24 of those points of the total 30 that they gave up all year was last week. Mm-hmm. So prior to last week, they'd only given up 6 points on defense all year. So that's a tough hill to climb for HSDW, so I'm going to take Van Meter.
All right, that's three for Van Meter. Matt?
Yeah, definitely will be a game of who has the best defense out there. But like you've already said, other add to their – 7 of 9 games shutouts out of the 19 interceptions, 5 of them were returned for touchdowns. So they've done it on there. Last week they held, we talked about their win against Madrid. Madrid's big gun there, Michael Santee, averages well over 200 yards of rushing a game. They held him well below his average. So I think they've got the defense to take care of it. So I'm going to go with Van Meter also.
All right, so we're going to take the home team there across the board in that one. Tough contest there for the Vikings. Central Lyon George Little Rock goes on the road to Kemper Catholic in a Class 2A game, but they don't truly go on the road because they're going to play this game in Denison. Both Kemper and Carroll High getting into the playoffs, so the Carroll High team gets to play on their home field there at Carroll Stadium, and Kemper Catholic will go over to Denison to host Central Lyon GLR. And Jim, you get first crack here at this one.
All right, thank you. By the way, that last game we talked about, that Van Meter AHSTW game, the way they'd see these two teams play defense, that game could be over by 8:30.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, that thing could be over in a heartbeat. Kemper Catholic, I think I just think they're a more solid ball club all the way around. I was looking at numbers from Central Lyon GLR, and you know, I'm always just kind of scanning at first when I look at the statistics, just for something that jumps off the page for me, whether it's offense or defense. I didn't see any of that. It just, everything looked relatively average. And I know Kemper Catholic has played well. I've seen the kind of competition they've played this year. And even though they're not technically, well, they're at home. Realistically, they're not at home. They're on the road. But I'm going to take Kemper Catholic here in this one. I think they've been playing pretty solid. I like them to get past this round.
All right, one for the Knights. Doug?
I agree with Jim on that. You know, Kemper has played a tough schedule this year. You know, they've had some good competition they've played. Central Lyon just doesn't seem to be generating a ton of offense. Now, we just, you know, talked about St. Albert and how they don't do that either, and they still win. But I think Kemper Catholic's going to take this one.
All right, that's two for Kemper Catholic. Matt?
Yeah, this is a going to be a tough ball game. Like Jim said, there's you know, stats wise offensively, Central Lyon per play they're averaging about 5 yards per play, scored 28 touchdowns, whereas Kemper is at 6.7 yards per play, 39 touchdowns on the season. But then we go to their schedule, and actually in Class 2A, Central Lyon has one of the fourth toughest schedules, whereas Kemper Catholic was down there at 21. You know, Kemper Catholic on paper, this is a toss-up. They're favored by maybe a half a point, according to the BC Moore rankings, of course. So statistically, I'm going to go with the Central Lyon, I think. Kemper is not going to really have that true home game. It's going to be on turf. I think you put it on turf, and I think Central Lyon, Georgia, Little Rock, tough ball to club.
All right. So we've got one going the other way there. And
they are the Lions.
The Lions. The Lions. Yes. All right. Central Lyon, Lions.
You're lying.
No, I'm not.
Oh.
The thing that I mentioned or I wrote down here about them too was you look at that 7-2 record. Their two losses are to playoff teams. They lost to two playoff teams through the season. They played some tough teams. The numbers as offensively don't really jump out at you. You're kind of wondering, well, what have they done to be able to score? But I wrote down, this is interesting. One player that they have is doing all kinds of things for them. Mitch Van Beck, 235 receiving yards, 2 touchdowns, 351 rushing yards, 5 touchdowns. He's got 40 solo tackles, 6 interceptions. 2 of those went back for touchdowns, and he's got 3 fumble recoveries. So a guy that's doing about everything for them all over the field. So that's pretty impressive. Kemper Catholic's got some nice athletes in the backfield as well. Gunderson and Ruepiper, I think, are both really explosive players. But I'm going to take a chance on the road team here as well. I think Central Lions got a little bit of maybe a surprise here for the Knights, and this will – be one that can jump up at him.
I'm just not getting the logic there, though. You guys both talked. I mean, you said that Central Lions GLR, 7-2, but those two losses were to playoff teams. Well, they're playing a playoff team tonight.
That's true. That's true. Good point.
All right.
But it's a playoff team that hasn't played any other playoff teams they played.
Playoffs.
Playoffs.
Now we're talking playoffs?
All right, we're going to split that one up, both the two apiece there on that one between the Knights and the Lions.
They're behind. They're trying to catch up. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a little bit. We'll move on here to Class 3A, and we've got the Glenwood Rams here that get to go on the road to take on Storm Lake, who is 9-0 on the season. And the Rams got in by the wild card points. Things worked out for them on the final night of the regular season. And we'll see now if they have a chance to go get a win on the road. Doug, what do you think?
Yeah, things worked out for Glenwood. They had to do what they had to do. They beat ADM fairly handily that last week in the schedule. And, I think if Glenwood would be a district champion in a lot of districts. They just had to run into Carroll and Creston in the same district, unfortunately. But if you look at Storm Lake, one thing that scares me a little bit about them is their quarterback. He's got 14 touchdowns, but he's also shown the ability to turn the ball over. He's got 8 interceptions, but they also play a very tough district. I like our district, of course, because I'm a little biased with Atlantic in there, but Storm Lake played teams that included Helan, Lamar, Sergeant Bluff, Luton. So traditionally some really tough squads, and they came out 9-0. So I'm going to take the home team.
All right, that's one for Storm Lake. Matt, what do you think?
Okay. Well, I'm going to throw it out there. You talk about strength of schedule. Again, going back to my B.C. Moore, strength of schedule for Glenwood was 13th ranked. Storm Lake was 35. This is really a toss-up game because you've got Glenwood ranked 6th, Storm Lake ranked 7th. Using those rankings, it's virtual. I just think if Glenwood can eliminate turnovers, they would have been an automatic in. They would have won one of those two games that they lost the year, Creston Carroll. So if they eliminate turnovers, I think they've got the team that can do it. They definitely have the athletes to take care of business. So I'm going to go with the Rams over the Tornadoes. Glenwood on the road.
All right. We've got one for Glenwood, and that's exactly what I wrote down on my sheet that Matt just brought up. Glenwood, take care of the football. That has been their downfall this season. Those big games, they've turned the ball over in key moments late in the game in the fourth quarter that have not allowed them to get those wins when they had leads against both Carroll and Creston. And I think they're going to do it here in the first round. So I'm going to take the mild upset here as well, and I'm going to take the Rams on the road. Jim?
The odd stat that I saw in all of that for Storm Lake, and I don't know how this is even possible. They played an entire regular season of 9 games. They recovered 1 fumble. Yeah. 1 fumble. Hmm. I mean, you'd think you'd get 3 or 4 of them by accident during the season. Right. They recovered 1 fumble. I just didn't think that was even possible. I don't know what that means, but I'm taking Glenwood. The smart move, if I were using some strategery here, I'd have probably just gone ahead and taken Storm Lake to hold Doug at bay. But I honestly think Glenwood's going to win this football game. What I wrote down is that they are – I just look at them, and I think they're more dynamic in their athletes than what Storm Lake is. So I'm going to go with Glenwood.
All right.
The wild card.
three of us for the wild card into the postseason here for the Rams. We've got two more games left here on the sheet, and there are a couple more Class 3A games, and we'll get to those here after we take this break here on Who's Going to Win.
The Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic is a community credit union offering you great services. Whether you're looking for a place to save your money or invest in a new home, car, or something else, visit with the staff of the Nishna Valley Credit Union. The Nishna Valley Credit Union is committed to making available financial products and services that will enable you to meet your financial needs and reach your financial goals. And now, if you live in one of 18 Southwest Iowa counties, you are eligible to join. Best of all, the Nishna Valley Credit Union offers the convenience of two full-service locations, Atlantic and Creston.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, from Mag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.
Welcome back to Who's Going to Win as we head into our last couple of picks here on the sheet. We've got Sergeant Bluff Luton on the road at Carroll here in this first one here in Class 3A. Of course, Carroll, the district champion. They got the win last week over Creston, and now they place a post here to Sergeant Bluff Luton. And Matt, you get first look here at this one.
Okay. I think this is probably one of the, I guess, if you will, the easiest picks on the sheet this week that we've got out here. I'm going to go with Carroll at home. They ran through this district, a tough strength of schedule throughout the year, tough defense offensively. They've moved the ball. Definitely one of your better teams in the state. Sergeant Bluff, good season. They're coming along there as the season went on. They'll don't have quite the numbers on the offensive side. Defensively, definitely not near as strong. That's going to be able to stop Carroll's. So, Tigers at home.
All right, that's one there for the Carroll Tigers. You know, trying to work their way to the dome here this season, and we'll see how it works out for them. This kind of is going to ruin. It's going to ruin me. Here goes my chance to win. I thought Jim was going the other way on the last one, so I guess I'm going to lose on the tiebreakers. What's going to happen? But I'm going to take Carroll here as well. I think Sergeant Bluff Luton, they've shown the propensity to turn the ball over a little bit. They do have 22 takeaways themselves here throughout the season, which is pretty impressive. But, the offensive numbers just aren't quite there. Dayton Ross for Carroll's a pretty dynamic player. Sounded like he was the one that kind of took over that game last week against Creston to get them the victory. So I'm going to go with Carroll as well. Jim.
All right. Well, I'm not going to disagree with you guys. I think it was kind of a shocker this year that Carroll has played as well as they did. I expect him to be a top half team, but to be able to have this kind of swagger to carry them all the way to the dome. I don't know if it will or not, but I've really been impressed by the way they've handled themselves here through the season this year. So yeah, I'm going to go with the Tigers, the undomesticated feline.
Mm-hmm. Yes. All right. That's Doug's favorite type of team to pick. So is he going to agree here?
Yes, I am going to take Carroll Tigers as well. They really showed everybody, I think, something last week and how they took on Creston and really kind of slowed down that offensive juggernaut that the Panthers have. So the Tigers will win this one.
All right. So that's Carroll across the board here for that one, as we have one more pick left here on the sheet. And this one also is a rematch contest from earlier in the season. Boone goes on the road to take on Creston here in Class 3A. And interesting, they played very first week of the season. It was a 28-7 win for Creston. And this is maybe a little bit more interesting, depending on the health of Mr. Chase Schultz. He went out of the game at the end in the fourth quarter last week against Carroll with an apparent knee injury. We haven't heard anything else on his progress and how he's going to be. And I think that makes it tough because I think he's a real key, obviously, to their ball club. You know, as much as you rely on a player like that throughout the years, it changes you a lot if he can't play. But I did notice, and I kind of went back and looked at that game earlier in the year, Mitchell Swank came in and ran for 126 yards in that game against Boone in the opening week of the season. Schultz had over 102, but it showed that they had somebody else that could step in and do that. So I like that ability for Creston, and I think they'll be able to get this opening round win here. Jim?
I agree with that. It would be a lot easier with Schultz, but I do think that they have enough weapons because they used a few other weapons last time to pick up the win. So I'm going to go with Creston also.
All right, that's two there for the Panthers. Doug?
I think Creston's offense just is potent enough to, hopefully Schultz is okay. He's got a good career ahead of him in wrestling as well. So, you don't want to have any kind of season-ending or career-ending injuries for a kid like that. But so the Panthers.
All right, that's three there for Creston. Matt?
I think it's going to be a tighter ball game, especially to see they had Schultz went out, and who's the other one that went out of the game?
Carlson
went out. Those are a couple key players on offense, and I think Carlson's on defense a little bit there too. So we'll see if they pop back in there. Boone has just kind of gotten better as the season went on. Going back to, schedules, defensive ranks, and stuff like that, Boone is actually, by this time of the year, is actually ranked a little bit higher than Creston. Are they going to be able to come in and sneak away a victory? I think it'll be a lot closer than it was the first game, but I'm still going to go with Creston.
All right, so we're going to go Creston Panthers across the board there. Knock off Boone in the opening round. So that's going to wrap up our picks here for this week and wrap up our picks here for this season. So we'll see how things shake out here. We've got a nice little battle going on here between Doug and Jim here in this last week. So we'll put these up there for you so you can take a look at them as well here as the program's posted online. And we appreciate you tuning in to Who's Going to Win here throughout the season. I want to thank Nishna Valley Credit Union and Ag Business Associates for sponsoring the program. Stay tuned. We've got high school football on the way here for you. 8-man game, Exira EHK on the road at Bedford. You can join myself and Mike Smith for the broadcast. We'll get started with the pregame here shortly and kickoff set for 7 o'clock here tonight. That's going to wrap up Who's Going to Win here on KJN.
The Nishna Valley Credit Union in Atlantic is a community credit union offering you great services. Whether you're looking for a place to save your money or invest in a new home, car, or something else, visit with the staff of the Nishna Valley Credit Union. The Nishna Valley Credit Union is committed to making available financial products and services that will enable you to meet your financial needs and reach your financial goals. And now, if you live in one of 18 Southwest Iowa counties, you are eligible to join. Best of all, the Nishna Valley Credit Union offers the convenience of two full-service locations, Atlantic and Creston.
Hi, this is Brock Partlow from Ag Business Associates in Atlantic, where we sell crop insurance. So unless you have problems where you currently have your crop insurance, we probably won't get a chance to meet. However, if you do need help, don't hesitate to give us a call at 712-243-5464. In the meantime, here are a few items to keep in mind as you start harvest. Don't chop silage without contacting your agent first. Don't commingle your grain without contacting your agent. Have old crop measured by an adjuster before adding new crop to the bin. And last but not least, from Ag Business Associates, be careful and have a safe harvest.